Hola, ¿cómo estás? Espero que todo esté bien contigo. This is Tamara Marie, host of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast. I wanted to ask you a quick question before we get started with this episode. Do you have trouble hearing and understanding native Spanish speakers? Whether you've been learning Spanish for 2 weeks or 2 years, it can be a struggle to really understand the fast pace of Spanish spoken by native speakers. So if that's you, don't worry, I got you. I have developed a method that will help you understand 80% of spoken Spanish in less than 30 minutes. This method will help you improve your ability to hear and understand native Spanish speakers so you can increase your listening comprehension and shed your fear of being afraid to start a conversation. You know, a lot of times we don't want to talk to someone in Spanish because we're afraid that when they talk back, we're not going to understand what they say. So we really need to get after that fear by improving our Spanish listening skills. So if this is something that you're interested in, I'd love to share it with you. I'm providing access to this masterclass absolutely free so that you can learn how to improve your Spanish listening skills. If you want to sign up, just go to SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. That's SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. Now, we're only going to have this masterclass available for a limited time, so make sure you sign up today if you want to get access, SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. Okay, let's get to this episode of the podcast. This episode of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast is brought to you by Yabla. Yabla provides language immersion through engaging videos for Spanish, English, Italian, French, German, and Chinese language learners. Yabla features authentic content by native speakers, custom playback, subtitles, learning games, and flashcards. Yabla is the premier language learning video platform with tools to enhance conversational understanding, such as the patented dictation game Scribe. If you haven't tried out Scribe, I definitely recommend you check it out. It is a game changer when it comes to improving your listening comprehension, and it's the perfect way to practice active listening. Stream authentic shows and music you enjoy while you learn at the same time. Give Yabla a try today using this special link, yabla.com/salsa. That's yabla.com/salsa. This episode of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast is sponsored by uTalk. When you use the uTalk app, you develop your speaking and listening skills in a new language from day one. uTalk features 145 different languages, including 3 varieties of Spanish. Subscribe today to get access to all 2,500 words and phrases in your target language, covering over 60 different topics. To save 30% on your subscription, go to learnspanishconsalsa.com/uTalk. Happy language learning!
Bienvenidos! Welcome to the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast, the show for Spanish learners that love music, travel, and culture. Close your grammar textbooks, shut down the language apps, and open your ears to how Spanish is spoken in the real world. Let us show you how to go from beginner to bilingual. Here is your host, certified language coach, Tamara Marie.
Hola y bienvenidos al episodio 91. Welcome to episode 91 of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast. En este episodio, seguimos con mi historia loca de mi viaje a Brasil. Les he compartido cómo fui a Brasil sin una visa y me negaron la entrada al país. Desde aquí, acabé en Argentina sin saber si iba a poder conseguir una visa. En parte 2, voy a explicar cómo un guiño me ayudó a obtener una cita en el consulado de Brasil durante temporada alta y la suerte buena y suerte mala que tenía tratando de llegar a Río de nuevo. Voy a contarles la historia primero en español y luego en inglés. So if you're a beginner, I will be repeating the entire story in English after the Spanish version. I'll continue my crazy travel story from episode 25, where I shared how I went to Brazil without a visa and was denied entry into the country. From there, I ended up in Argentina without knowing if I'd be able to even get a visa. In part two, I'll explain how a wink helped me get an appointment at the Brazilian consulate during high season and the good and bad luck I had trying to get back to Rio. Now, if you want to get the full transcript of this episode in Spanish and English, you can become a supporter of the show. Just go to learnspanishconsalsa.com/support to make a small donation and you'll get access to all show transcripts and bonus materials. That's learnspanishconsalsa.com/support. Before I get started, I'll share some vocabulary for this episode. So if you're a beginner, listen for these keywords as you hear the story. Fernet, bitter Italian spirit, a popular drink in Buenos Aires. Decepcionada, disappointed. Descargada, discharged. Consulado, consulate. Vegetariana, vegetarian. Por casualidad, by chance. Descargar, to download. Esperanza, hope. Porteño, colloquial term for Buenos Aires. Milonga, gatherings with an upbeat, fast tempo of tango music and dance. Guiño, wink. Nos encontramos, we met up. Para colmo, to make things worse, short for para colmo de males. Vos, the informal way of saying you, used instead of tú in Argentina. Enchufe, outlet. Ahora empezamos la historia de viaje parte 2, la turista accidental en Buenos Aires. Que disfruten. Llegué a la puerta con mi móvil prácticamente descargado. Busqué un enchufe para cargarlo. El avión comenzaría el embarque en 30 minutos. La verdad es que nunca había querido ir a Argentina. No era parte de mi lista de deseos, como llamamos bucket list en inglés. Pero allí estaba yo, a punto de abordar un avión a Buenos Aires. De repente, me di cuenta que no tenía dónde quedarme en Argentina. Con prisa, intenté buscar un apartamento en un vecindario seguro y cerca de la embajada. Luego, descubriría que lo que necesitaba era ir al consulado, no a la embajada. Pero en ese momento no tenía idea. Por suerte, encontré un apartamento en Airbnb que parecía agradable. Y justo entonces, me acordé de un artículo que había publicado en mi propio blog. Unos meses antes, un autor me había enviado un artículo titulado Confesiones de un negro viajando en Buenos Aires. Y él me regaló dos libros electrónicos que eran guías de viaje por la ciudad, uno para la gente negra y otro para vegetarianos. Resulta que yo era negra y vegetariana y estaba por llegar a Buenos Aires en un par de horas. ¡Qué suerte! Esa no sería la última vez que algo pasaría por casualidad durante este viaje. No quedaba mucho tiempo porque estaban a punto de empezar a embarcar el vuelo. Empecé a descargar los libros a toda prisa, porque el avión no tenía Wi-Fi. Durante el vuelo, leí ambos libros y me sentía un poquito más preparada. Descubrí algunos trucos útiles, como el proceso de cambiar dinero y cuáles barrios eran seguros. Y lo más importante, con comida vegetariana. El avión aterrizó sin problemas en Buenos Aires, y con mi conexión de internet restablecida en el aeropuerto, busqué información en el sitio web de la Embajada de Brasil para averiguar mis siguientes pasos. El sitio decía que si un extranjero americano llegaba a Brasil sin documentos, no podrían ayudarlo. En cambio, habría que ir al consulado de Brasil para pedir una visa. Era domingo y todas las oficinas estaban cerradas. Para colmo, no había citas disponibles hasta marzo, después del carnaval. Allí estaba yo, en otro aeropuerto, sin dinero ni opciones. Parecía que no tenía buena suerte con los viajes y nunca podría ir a Brasil. En la fila de la aduana, empecé a sentirme muy débil y nauseabunda. No podía pararme y me senté en el piso al lado de mi maleta mientras esperaba. Había demasiado calor y mucha humedad dentro del aeropuerto. Sin esperanza ni fuerzas, fui a buscar un lugar para cambiar mis dólares americanos en pesos argentinos. Pero más mala suerte. Todos los cajeros automáticos estaban vacíos. Había leído en el libro electrónico que no era fácil encontrar efectivo en Buenos Aires y tenía razón. Fui a buscar un taxi que aceptara tarjetas de crédito. En el taxi, tuve un momento para pensar. Me preguntaba, ¿qué diablos estaba haciendo en Argentina? ¿Regresaría a Brasil a tiempo para el carnaval? ¿O en lo absoluto? Al leer la página de la embajada, supe que tenía que ir al consulado de Brasil para conseguir una visa y pagar las tarifas en efectivo. Llamé a mi familia y me pidieron regresar a Estados Unidos inmediatamente. Pero mi suerte estaba por cambiar una vez más. Llegué al apartamento y el dueño de mi Airbnb era un tipo muy amable. El lugar era bonito, con un pequeño balcón y todo lo que necesitaba. «Qué bueno que vos hablas castellano», me dijo con su fuerte acento porteño. Eso me recordó que también tenía un contacto en Buenos Aires, alguien que había escrito otro artículo para mi blog sobre el español de Argentina. ¡Qué casualidad! Le envié un mensaje y decidimos encontrarnos para almuerzo. Antes de dejarme con las llaves del apartamento, o llaves, como él decía, el dueño de apartamento me contó que podía ayudarme a conseguir efectivo. Le di algunos billetes con fe y confianza, y cuando regresó, le expliqué mi situación. Necesitaba tomar fotos tipo pasaporte e imprimir algunos documentos para llevar al consulado. Me ayudó a encontrar una tienda y culminé todas las tareas por la tarde. Por fin, la hora de ir al consulado había llegado. Tomé un taxi al centro y entré a un edificio alto con varias empresas. Cuando entré en la recepción, antes de poder leer el letrero para ver en cuál piso quedaba el consulado, el guardia de seguridad me dio una mirada y sin vacilar me dijo, quinto piso. Él había asumido que yo era brasileña. Desafortunadamente, la oficina del consulado estaba cerrada y tuve que esperar un día más. Caminando por las calles de la ciudad, me di cuenta de que no había gente negra, pero no me molestaba mucho. Pero para ellos fue raro ver una persona como yo. El color de mi piel y la textura de mi pelo no son comunes en Buenos Aires. Luego aprendí que hay una historia triste en que la mayoría de los negros que vivieron allí murieron, y las raíces del famoso baile tango vienen de esos mismos africanos que no aparecen en las milongas hoy en día. El próximo día regresé al consulado. Me paré en la fila como si todo estuviera bien, sabiendo que no tenía una cita. La mujer trabajando detrás de la ventana no parecía tan amable, y después de le conté mi historia, no me creyó. con el tono de una madre con un hijo travieso. Me gritó en inglés, español y portugués. Oh, it doesn't work that way. Lo siento. Você precisa de un turno. Siéntate, siéntate. No estaba segura de qué iba a pasar, pero me senté en la silla con una sonrisa. Ella habló en 3 idiomas a la misma vez y le he entendido todo. En la sala del consulado, mientras hablaba con una mujer de Brasil con piel más oscura que la mía, otro guardia de seguridad me susurró algo, pero no podía oírlo. ¿Vos tenéis WhatsApp? ¿Cómo? ¿Vos tenéis WhatsApp? Oh, WhatsApp. Sí, ¿por qué? Bueno, después de termines con tu turno, tal vez salimos a tomar un trago. Pensando en la situación en la que me encontraba, elegí mis palabras con mucho cuidado. No quería matar la esperanza del hombre calvo. Le respondí, vamos a ver, ¿crees que ella me va a ayudar? Un momento, me dio con un guiño. Él fue a hablar con la mujer detrás de la ventana y en un par de minutos me llamó. Ella me preguntó por qué no tenía un pasaje a Río de Janeiro y le conté que no quería desperdiciar mi dinero así si no conseguía una visa. Le expliqué todo lo que había pasado con la aerolínea, pero ella necesitaba pruebas y yo no tenía suficiente dinero. Tuve que ir a un café para imprimir mi reservación original y al Banco Internacional para conseguir más efectivo. Todo antes de el consulado cerrara. Superé algunos problemas con la seguridad de mis cuentas porque tuve que explicar por qué alguien estaba tratando de acceder a mi información desde Argentina si supuestamente yo estaba en Brasil. Y en el banco usé el cajero automático y saqué justamente la cantidad de efectivo que necesitaba. Un par de dólares más y habría sobrepasado el límite. Normalmente no viajo con mi tarjeta de débito, pero por suerte la tenía esta vez. Regresé al consulado y entregué mis documentos y pasaporte con el efectivo. Y el próximo día recogí mi visa nueva. Esa misma noche fui a bailar salsa. Conocí a los salseros de Buenos Aires y probé Fernet por primera vez. Les pedí llevarme a un lugar con tango y no estuve decepcionada. Al entrar al lugar, vi una presentación de una pareja de campeones mundiales de baile. Me fascinaba la manera en que bailaban, tan formal e íntimo, las mujeres con ojos cerrados. En las calles de la ciudad aprendí el paso básico de tango. Después de tanta locura, decidí ir a buscar un sitio para relajarme. Por suerte, encontré un centro de meditación. Quedaba a un par de cuadras de mi apartamento. Más temprano ese año, había querido empezar una práctica de meditación. He leído que los científicos afirman que es buena para la memoria, el estrés y el manejo de las emociones. Encontré una clase de meditación en mi ciudad y fui a aprender cómo hacerlo. Fue en un templo budista y un mes antes de mi viaje hicieron una meditación guiada con oraciones por el protector, entre comillas. Después de la clase me dieron una tarjetita con su imagen y por alguna razón la traje en la carterita que usaba durante mis viajes. Cuando entré al centro de meditación allí en Buenos Aires, me di cuenta de que era parte de la misma comunidad budista que había encontrado en mi ciudad. ¡Qué casualidad! Escuché una meditación guiada, con ojos cerrados, respiré profundamente y sabía que todo estaría bien. Hicieron una oración que había escuchado antes, pero esta vez fue en español. Fue la oración de ese mismo protector. Y en ese momento, me di cuenta de que en realidad estaba protegida. Había encontrado la bondad de los demás, a 5,000 millas de mi hogar, y me sentí en casa.
A Império informa. Vasco voo 957.
La tarde siguiente, abordé otro avión a Brasil, pero esta vez entré al país sin problemas. Mi amigo y yo nos encontramos en el aeropuerto y por la noche nos fuimos a Río para empezar las fiestas de carnaval. Ahora voy a contarles la historia en inglés. I arrived at the gate with my cell phone almost dead. I looked for an outlet to charge it. The plane would start boarding in 30 minutes. The truth is that I never wanted to go to Argentina. It wasn't on my bucket list. But there I was, about to board a plane to Buenos Aires. Suddenly it dawned on me that I didn't have anywhere to stay in Argentina. Quickly, I tried to find an apartment in a safe neighborhood close to the embassy. Later, I would find out that I needed to go to the consulate, not the embassy. But at that time, I had no idea. Luckily, I found an apartment on Airbnb that seemed nice. And right then, I remembered an article that I'd published on my own blog. A few months prior, an author had sent me an article called Confessions of a Black Man Traveling in Buenos Aires. And he gave me two ebooks that were travel guides for the city. One for black people and the other for vegetarians. It just so happened that I was black and vegetarian and about to arrive in Buenos Aires in a few hours. How lucky was that? That wouldn't be the last time that something happened by chance during this trip. There wasn't much time left because they were about to start boarding the flight. I started to download the books quickly because the plane didn't have Wi-Fi. During the flight, I read both books and I felt a little more prepared. I learned some helpful tips, like the process for exchanging money and which neighborhoods were safe, and more importantly, had vegetarian food. The flight landed safely in Buenos Aires, and with my internet connection reconnected in the airport, I looked for information on the Brazilian embassy's website to figure out my next steps. The site said that if an American had arrived in Brazil without paperwork, the embassy would not be able to help. Instead, I'd have to go to the Brazilian consulate to request a visa. It was Sunday, and all of the offices were closed. On top of that, there were no appointments available until March, after Carnival. There I was in another airport with no money and no options. It seemed that I just didn't have good luck with traveling, and I would never be able to go to Brazil. In the line at customs, I started to feel weak and nauseous. I couldn't stand, and I sat on the floor next to my suitcase while I was waiting. It was so hot and humid inside the airport. Without hope or any strength, I went to look for a place to exchange my American dollars for Argentine pesos. But more bad luck. All of the ATMs were empty. I'd read in the ebook that it wasn't easy to find cash in Buenos Aires, and it was right. I went to look for a taxi that would accept credit cards. In the taxi, I had a moment to think. I asked myself, what the hell was I doing in Argentina? Would I make it to Brazil in time for Carnival? Or would I make it back at all? Reading the embassy's website, I found out that I'd have to go to the Brazilian consulate to get a visa and pay the fees in cash. I called my family and they pleaded with me to return to the U.S. right away. But my luck was about to change once more. I arrived at the apartment and the owner of the Airbnb was a really nice guy. The place was nice, with a little balcony and everything that I needed. "It's good that you speak Spanish," he told me with his strong Buenos Aires accent. That reminded me that I also had a contact from the city, someone else that had written another article for my blog about Spanish from Argentina. What a coincidence. I sent him a message and we decided to meet up for lunch. Before the owner left me with the keys to the apartment, he told me that he would help me get cash. I trusted him and gave him some bills, and when he came back, I explained my situation to him. I needed to take passport photos and print some documents to take to the consulate. He helped me find a store, and I finished all the errands that afternoon. Finally, it was time to go to the consulate. I took a taxi downtown and entered a tall building with several businesses. When I entered the lobby, before I could even read the sign to see on what floor the consulate was located, the security guard gave me one look and without hesitation told me, "Fifth floor." He had assumed that I was Brazilian. Unfortunately, the office of the consulate was closed, and I had to wait another day. Walking the streets of the city, I realized there weren't any black people, but it didn't bother me much. But for them, it was strange to see a person like me. The color of my skin and the texture of my hair aren't very common in Buenos Aires. Later, I learned that there is a sad history in which the majority of black people that lived there died. And the roots of the famous tango dance came from those same Africans that don't appear at the tango dances at all these days. The next day, I went back to the consulate. I stood in line like everything was cool, knowing that I didn't have an appointment. The woman working behind the window didn't seem that nice, and after I told her my story, she did not believe me. With the tone of a mother with a mischievous child, she yelled at me, "Oh, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. You need an appointment. Sit down. Sit down." I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but I sat in the chair with a smile on my face. She had yelled at me in three languages at the same time, and I had understood everything she said. In the consulate's waiting room, while I was talking to a Brazilian woman with skin darker than mine, another security guard whispered something to me, but I couldn't hear him. "Do you have WhatsApp?" "What's that?" I asked. "Do you have WhatsApp?" "Oh, WhatsApp. Yeah, why?" "Well, after you finish with your appointment, maybe we can go out for a drink." Thinking about the situation I was in, I chose my words very carefully. I didn't want to kill the bald man's hope. I responded, "Well, let's see. Do you think she's going to help me?" "One moment," he told me with a wink. He went to talk to the woman behind the window, and a few minutes later, she called me up. She asked me why I didn't have a plane ticket to Rio, and I told her that I didn't want to waste my money on a plane ticket if I didn't get a visa. I explained everything that had happened with the airline, but she needed proof, and I didn't have enough money. I had to go to a cafe to print my original reservation and to an international bank to get more cash, all before the consulate closed. I overcame some problems with my account security because I had to explain why someone was trying to access my information from Argentina if I was supposed to be in Brazil. At the bank, I used the ATM to take out just the amount of cash I needed. A few dollars more and I would have gone over the withdrawal limit. Normally, I don't even travel with my debit card, but luckily I had it with me this time. I went back to the consulate and gave them my documents and passport with the cash. And the next day, I picked up my new visa. That same night, I went out salsa dancing. I met the salsa dancers in Buenos Aires, and I tried Fernet for the first time. I asked them to take me to a place with tango dancing, and I was not disappointed. As we entered, I saw a performance by a couple of world dance champions. The way they danced fascinated me. So formal and intimate. The women with their eyes closed. In the streets of the city, I learned the basic step of tango. After so much craziness, I decided to look for a place to relax. Luckily, I found a meditation center. It was located a few blocks from my apartment. Earlier that year, I had wanted to start a meditation practice. I've read the scientists say it's good for memory, stress, and emotional management. I found a meditation class in my city, and I went to learn how to do it. It was a Buddhist temple, and a month before my trip, they held a guided meditation with prayers for, quote-unquote, the protector. After the class, they gave me a little card with his picture. And for some reason, I brought it in my small purse I use when I travel. When I entered the meditation center there in Buenos Aires, I realized that it was part of the same Buddhist community that I'd found in my city. What a coincidence! I listened to a guided meditation, and with my eyes closed, I breathed deeply. And I knew that everything would be okay. They played the same prayer I had heard before, but this time it was in Spanish. It was a prayer of the same protector. And in that moment, I realized that I really was protected. I had found the kindness of others 5,000 miles from home, and I felt right at home. The following afternoon, I boarded another plane to Brazil, but this time I entered the country with no problem. My friend and I met up at the airport, and that night we went to Rio to join the party for Carnival. I hope you enjoyed my crazy travel story to Brazil, and I will be sharing more stories in the future. Don't forget, if you want to download the full transcript in Spanish of this episode, plus the translation to English, become a supporter of the show. Go to learnspanishconsalsa.com/support, and you'll be able to access the show notes for all of our episodes, as well as transcripts and other bonus material. That's learnspanishconsalsa.com/support. I hope that something you heard in today's episode has helped you go at least un paso más cerca, one step closer, from Spanish beginner to bilingual. Hasta la próxima.
Thank you for listening to the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast at learnspanishconsalsa.com.